Definitely. I've hit record on the podcast now. I had to bring up a GarageBand file while we were talking because I had to answer texts instead of pulling up GarageBand files previously. Because people text me sometimes and then they expect me to answer those texts and then they expect me to answer those texts like a person. It's a lot.
Texts. People think texts are great, but they're basically silent phone calls.
Right.
Lying to yourselves.
They're the worst. They're exactly the same thing as phone calls. You're expected to participate in them. You can't just, like, get one and then answer it a week later and be like, this is fine. Which reminds me, I should check my work email. Now that I have a work email, I should start checking that.
You just went through orientation, right?
Yeah, that's been my week, because I've really just been, acquiring sheets of paper that I'm not going to look at again until it's a crisis, and learning how to grade online. Those are the two things I've really been fucking doing. And, like, I feel okay about my ability to have sheets of paper that I won't look at. First of all, very good at that. Developed that skill at Hampshire College. Grading online, not so much a Hampshire College skill. But I believe.
Shout outs, Hampshire College.
Yeah. Yeah, fundamentally, what a formative institution, for better or for worse.
Oh, yeah. It shaped who I am. Now I just have to learn to like myself.
boy, howdy. I mean, I want you to learn to like yourself, but, like, what a... What a thing to say about our school.
No, education is great, and I have a lot of fond memories, and I learned a lot, and it's a great place. One of the, honestly, few institutions that cares about education life. But, is education is a scam?
Yeah.
Everybody. And, I don't know, read the internet. Maybe go to the library. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm already going off the rails.
As someone who's nominally, nominally, I'm literally going to be teaching in higher ed. I'm going to be teaching first years. How to write. Higher ed's a scam. It's a big ol' scam. It's a scamity scamity scam. But if you're gonna read the internet, read the right parts of the internet. Don't fuck that up.
Right. That's real. God bless you. And poor people.
Any of the above. I don't necessarily think that asking how you're doing is the best route. I care how you're doing.
On the record, I've just been watching Space Dandy. I don't know what to say.
That's great. That is, how's that going? I watched a couple episodes with Madisans, the sainted Madisans, a while back. It's a good show. How's your watching going?
It's my third time through, because I am a perennial escape artist, and it's great. I enjoy it. I think it always hurts my soul, and this is... I want to give a shout-out to a certain episode. There's music in the darkness, baby. If you haven't watched it, watch it. It's great.
Great. Noted. I am unlikely to watch it soon because I'm about to have more work than I know what to fucking do. I already have more work than I know what to do with, but I'm about to have a lot more work than I know what to do with. I had to read a book last week and I was like, oh god, a whole book, and that's gonna start being for like every class plus grading, so fuck. But... So, I'm not going to do that now, but I will eventually do that, and I hope everybody in listener land gets on that.
Reading books.
I've been watching that episode of Space Dandy, not reading books. Fuck a book. Fuck a book. Don't fuck a book. But, like, fuck a book. Watch Space Dandy.
I'm going to get that tattoo on my face when I have my manic episode.
It's good to have it planned out. I think that controls the risk factor.
It's not a manic episode if you plan it out.
Yeah, that's true. That's real.
Have you read comics?
Yeah, there we go. It's the topic. I appreciate you taking one for the team and making that segue happen. I have read some comics. I have them. I've stuck them under this computer, so they're sitting between my knees and the computer. I read three comics because I went to the Portland Zine Fest before I left town, and I got these. And now I'll never go to Portland again. So here they are. What is a glacier? Well, I actually just got at Floating World at the regular comic store, but these two are from Portland Zine Fest. No, that's not true. Only one of these is from Portland Zine Fest. The other one is also from Floating World. This comic is from Portland Zine Fest. It's called Hometowns, a Sound Drowns Wrecking Crew, spelled C-R-U, anthology.
Wow. What? Is the Wrecking Crew, I'm assuming it's a gang of friends?
Yeah, they're a comics work group. They hang out at a coffee shop called Sound Grounds. I think it's like a coffee shop record store because it's Portland, so that's the only kind of place there is. The Sound Grounds Wrecking Crew is a comics collective based out of Portland, Oregon, established in the fall of 2013 as a drawing group. It has since grown into an unstoppable supergroup, putting out anthologies each year. And that's where they work. That little picture is presumably... And then there's a cat. Also a cat.
A fun fact about the Wrecking Crew is that it's also the name of a supervillain group in Marvel Comics.
Nice! I don't know if this is explicitly referencing that, but it could be because they're nerds. And nerds like that kind of thing. Nerds like references.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's a pretty short... I mean, it's a media anthology, but all the comics in it are pretty short. And they're just about people's different hometowns that they're from and how they feel about their hometown. I mostly got it because Liz Yerby is in it, and Liz Yerby also did a comic about Marcy from Peanuts and Peppermint Patty. Peppermint Patty being gay. So it's that comic by Liz Yerby is online, might still be on, went around Tumblr for a bit. It's a good comic. It's very, like, affecting. So I picked this up because Yerby was in it. It's been so long since I've talked about comics that I've, like, fucking forgotten how to do that. It's been just over a month since our last one of these, but I feel very, like, rusted. Yerby does some interesting stuff with, like, collage and juxtaposition, and I always feel like the connection between comics and collage is really, like, there in the sort of reliance on context and contrast. But a lot of the rest of it is pretty cute, too. There's one about some kid in a small town skateboarding around, which I like a lot because it has, for something that is vaguely and imaginatively drawn, it has a strong sense of suburbs and, like, the specific place of the suburbs and the sort of specific genericness of the suburbs, which I think is really pleasing.
Those are very nice.
Yeah. It's a very cute style. And she draws herself super cute. So that one was fun because I'm from a suburb and like I feel things about suburbs. All anthologies, it's a little uneven. Some of it's really thoughtful. Some of it's really not. Some of it's really talky. That's a thing. I don't know if you get this. In, like, small press comics, especially autobiography, they get so talky. There's just so much talking.
Yeah, I feel you on that a lot. Do you remember the eponymous Blankets comic?
Oh, my God.
That is, like, 300 fucking pages of, what's his name? Trying to figure out if he likes this person or not.
Yeah, just 300 pages of fucking Craig Thompson being like, do I like this girl or do I just like jacking it? What about God? Like that? That's Blankets. You're welcome, y'all, for that exact summary of Blankets, where he's like, this girl, but the Lord, but mostly jacking it, but I'm a better person than that. That's Craig Thompson, but it takes him forever to just say those things. He just... But, you know, he draws...
Long-winded.
What?
That's very long-winded.
Yeah.
And he chooses masturbation in the hand.
Yeah, that's true. He does. For those of you who were wondering, who have not yet read Blankets, we're going to spoil it. Pig's jerking off in the end. In fact, that's where... Because Blankets is basically 300 pages of masturbation. Not, like, as the subject matter, but, like, the production of Blankets. Like, the existence of Blankets is basically masturbatory, so...
Oh, yeah. Everything is either him being cradled... Or him being like, I'm super complicated. I'm gonna draw you as a deity while I decide whether or not you're making breakfast for.
That is the most exact, like, fucking nailing of the Craigie Thomas problem that there has ever been. Because he draws other people as deities, but he is so self-absorbed. He's just... Like, I like autobiocomics. I don't like Craigie Toms, because Craigie Toms is, like, a navel-gazing nightmare who's only interested in, like, the saintly as it results to where he can put his dick, and that's unfortunate. Like, I get that being raised religious and then having to figure something else out is very difficult. I have nothing but sympathy for that. But maybe realize other people exist. Like, if you're like, God doesn't exist, that's cool. But other people do, my dude.
Yeah, they're often very explicitly existing. Well, Matt, that's not fair. No, I was about to pretend to play devil's advocate, and I can't. I can't do it.
Like, I once said of Craig Thompson, so to quote myself, that Craig Thompson thinks that every woman is a noble savage.
Yeah.
Like, he thinks every woman is more simple and, like, a primitive good compared to him, Craig Thompson, tormented artist man, who has to decide between God and Jack in it, so he can't be a deity. And it's like, okay... I regret to inform you that there are women who have made that choice before. Like, women don't have a better solution.
Yeah. You could, as previously mentioned, watch that great Space Dandy episode or read a book.
Yeah, there's options.
So many things.
It's not just, like, drawing God, or sleeping with women who you don't necessarily respect. Like, He doesn't really think about our people. I don't know. And that's not even touching on Habibi, which is is that what it's actually titled? It has been so long. Yeah, it is. He called it Habibi. His fucking Orientalist shit show that he wrote and drew. It is 672 pages.
No one needs that book.
Yeah. Craig Thompson is 41 years old. Craig Thompson was not 41 years old when he put out Habibi, but he was not that young either.
No, he was old enough to know that he was fetishizing sexual assault.
Boy, what? He was 35 years old when Habibi came out, which is old enough to not make that choice.
Yeah, there's an unfortunate Oh, there's an unfortunate thing in storytelling where often a plot point for female characters is just rape, and then that's just the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, in Habibi, at least the female character gets to also go through his somewhat racist fantasy idea of what exotic poverty is like.
That is true.
So at least it's racist too.
If you can't, you gotta do both. You can't just do one anymore. Gotta do both.
Yeah, two for the price of one.
For the price of 670 pages.
It's so many. God, how did no one stop that around page 200? How was no one like, hey, stop?
I think, I don't know, that is a very good question, actually. Sometimes something becomes so popular, and I don't think anybody was expecting blankets to be like well received. Or maybe they were, I don't know, they probably were. But then everybody was like, I guess we gotta listen to this dude. Won an award, right? I feel like that was said many times.
Yeah. He did win a lot of awards. Nobody at any point ever took those awards away from him.
Is that a thing you can do, like once you're given an award, can it be taken away?
I mean, probably. I know that in sports you can like vacate titles or whatever, right? Like if it turns out somebody has done mega crimes. Like you can take away Olympic medals, I think, if it's later revealed that there's been doping. I could be dead ass wrong because my knowledge of sports is like occasionally sports will come up on NPR and I'm like, ah, sports. But
Sports law.
yeah.
But those homecoming is not, is it more masturbatory, or is it because it's so many different places? Is it good?
Yeah, I mean, like all anthologies, there's some stuff in it that I could have lived without looking at, but because it's all so short, it's like, oh, well, I'm not mad that I spent 3 minutes of my time reading a comic I don't care about, unlike Habibi, which is 672 pages, and I am mad that I read it. Homecomings has enough, like, short little comics that I really liked, that I'm like, oh, well, what a fun grab bag. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if they sell them online or whatever, but if anybody out in listener land is like, I care about hometowns, specifically, or, like, I care about Liz Yerby, specifically, or whatever, you know, not a bit, because, there's other artists in it, but I don't remember any of their names because I wasn't paying that much attention. Whoops. Yeah, no, it's a fun little comic. Pretty good. Pretty good. The kind of thing that I like a comic to be. Reasonably compact. Gets a lot of different kinds of things in there. Is about a theme that I'm sentimental about. Good times.
Sentiment. Lex.
Yeah, true, you're right. Can I strike that comment from the record?
It'll ring through the internet for ages.
Yeah. So have you read anything? I have a couple of their comics that I can talk about, but I don't know what else would you have been reading, if anything, in particular.
Sort of went into a K-hole. And I started reading, I mean, it's Ford's Terminology.
Keep going, keep leaning into it, keep digging your word hole to go with your K-hole.
So I was in a K-hole of, Inuyasano stuff. I was just like, fuck it, let's just go there. And I read a bunch of his shorts, and one that was particularly good was one called Heroes, which has his traditional, you know, like, nothing is what it seems, these people save the world, and they're like, hey, let's celebrate, and then one of the intrepid heroes is like, hey, my village got destroyed while we were saving the world. Can I stay with one of you? And then all the other heroes are like, no. And there's more to it. It's only 18 pages, but it's super RPG. Very, very brutal. Brutal and weird. And that's my wheelhouse.
That is exactly your genre shit. Plus, it's Asano, who I get the impression you turn to in dark hours to make them darker.
I like, when I'm just, like, super bummed, I'm just like, man, you know, let me read some real sadness, and then I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not that sad. I don't think I'm a bird sad.
Is that the new metric, like, on a clinical depression severity question, like, assessment questionnaire, is one of them like, how often in a week would you describe yourself as thinking you're a bird? Most days, some days, every day. Yeah, I think once you reach, like, triangle status, that's compulsory hospitalization, I think, if you're in, like, triangle poon poon.
Yeah, if you think you're just the shape, you should talk to somebody.
Yeah.
That's just some friendly advice.
I think one should talk to someone well before you think you're just a shape. Because it's important to realize you are not just a shape. Gotta head that off at the pass. But
yes, that's true.
If anyone out there in listener land is feeling sad inside, don't wait until you think you're a shape. Do not wait until the crystalline geometry of misery has reduced you to three sides and, like, part of a face. Just get help first.
Yeah.
But if you're already there, if you already think you're a triangle or even a square, you know, there's help.
There's help, and you're a person, and you're valued.
Yeah, exactly. All of that.
By us. And presumably other people. Or pets.
Yeah.
I wish I could say more. But I'm also rusty, so.
Yeah. And I'm rusty in asking questions, to be honest. Yeah, it's, have you picked up the English edition of Poon Poon that's come out, or are you, like, have you looked at that yet, or?
I read it at a store.
What do you think of the production?
It's sort of like there's nothing that sets it aside so much that I've noticed. It's the same story. It's nice to be able to read, like, the editorial stuff sometimes, but it's there's not a lot of editorials, or there's no new editorials, I should say. It's just like a sign of being like, this was really hard, and here it is. It's a good binding, strong, sturdy paper.
Nice.
Hey, when you get sweat in your eyes, it just stays there.
Yeah, that's, so now that I am in Florida, which is exactly as hot as everybody says it is, I have caught myself saying aloud, I am the sweatiest anyone has ever been, like, several times. It's so, I mean, today's not so bad because it's been raining all fucking day, which is its own problem. But I feel you on the sweat thing. Although, New York City's also kind of a special sweat hell because y'all ain't got no ACs. And y'all do not have, like, you're in a city, so you don't have anywhere to go. There's just sweat and more sweat.
Just the one hot box to water.
Yeah. Oh, though, before I forget, let me briefly bring up an old friend of the show. Fucking Titan from Study Group. Longtime listeners will remember that I was very into the first couple issues of Titan. Aaron was not particularly into the first couple issues of Titan. I think your phrasing at the time was something like you liked that it was in outer space, but you thought the romance stuff was trite. I don't want to misrepresent you, but I think it was something like that. That you were like, hooray, it's in space, but, like, what's this garbage?
No, that's accurate.
So, flash forward from our first discussion about it, Lionwork Northwest last year, I dropped a table on Francois Vinegar. I dropped a table on the man who draws Titan, and talked about it on the show. So, the show has a long and storied connection with Titan. I've done physical harm to the creator of Titan, and I felt very bad about it. This is the final issue of Titan. It's done. It's the last issue has been published. Titan is over.
Well, is it what happens?
So, Yeah. The sort of cover splash is Phoebe, one of the main characters, who is the leader of a rebel group of genetically modified people, the Titans, who are laborers in outer space, largely in moons and shit. And they're rebelling against the management of Earth. And what has come to pass over the last several issues of Titan is that she ended up in a leadership position, despite that not being her sort of initial wish, and her rebel, her the rest of the Titans have like captured the new manager who came to the station. The leader of them has gouged out the dude's eye, which is like a control device for a bunch of stuff on the station, and is using it to control the station. So Phoebe, who has been sort of maybe going on dates or like hanging out and listening to records with the manager, has a choice to make. Is she gonna stay with her old mentor, Cyril, Cyrus, Cyril, Cyrus? Close enough. And the rebels on Titan, who are now having an armed uprising, or is she going to rescue her boyfriend, who's been sort of a moderate reformist, and try to work with him that way? So that was the
Stuck.
conclusion. This is the concluding episode. It's over now. I mean, I have not spoiled the ending, although I guess it's traditional for us to spoil the ending of things on the trades. Do you want the ending spoiled?
I mean, hell, I probably will not read this,
Yes, that is
but
true.
I do not know if. That's sort of it's a mystery. I think you nailed it. But I want to put my money on. Is it the manager? I want to say the manager gets. Gets straight left in space, and Phoebe rises to the occasion of leader. And maybe her boyfriend is just sort of like. Cool, or he dies or something.
Yeah.
That's what my mind is on.
The manager is her boyfriend. That's the detail I did not make clear. Her former mentor has captured her current boyfriend and the station manager. So, first of all, don't date at work. Lesson number one, listeners, if you think you need to be part of an armed uprising by your union, don't date your manager because you might have to guillotine them. And that will be awkward. So yeah, I will leave it to mystery. I will not spoil it, despite the fine tradition of the trade spoiling things. This is an exception. But it does sort of serve as a really useful romance guide in that, don't date somebody you might have to later lead an armed uprising against. It's awkward. And then you might have to see them later on at various sort of signings of things, war trials, war crimes tribunals, who knows? I'm not saying that that is or isn't in the comic, but I'm just listing some things that might happen. And then you have to see your ex of them, and that's awkward. So,
It's messy.
yeah. Maybe messier than, like, having to guillotine the bourgeois to start with. The bourgeoisie. So, yeah, that's kind of a weird. We gotta find a new thing that we occasionally check back in on and don't read regularly. Now that Titan's over, we need something else. And it's gotta be someone local to one of us so we can accidentally do bodily harm to them.
I'm on it.
Great.
I'm gonna see if this. I'm willing to travel to cause bodily harm. If it's for the trip.
I appreciate that so much. It's really
tri-state area only.
Yeah, nothing crazy. But if you're a comics artist in New Jersey, and you want the trades to review your work, and you're willing to have Aaron drop a table on you, let us know. Let us know what the sitch is.
I'll do it for free.
Yeah. We don't charge for reviews or table dropping. Although, if you want to pay Aaron's bus fare, that would be nice.
Oh, man. I'm not saying... I don't know if I'm at the point in my life where I would give a back rub for a bus ticket. But I feel like I might be. And that is something I'm okay with.
Yeah. I think it's good to know where you're at in terms of how desperate you are for transportation in exchange for semi-sexual favors.
It's a growth economy.
Hell yeah. I think, you know, the gig economy has left all of us looking for non-traditional ways to get ahead and to get where we're going. So... there you go.
I have to tell you about this. So, I did something, and I read something that was... I was in a dark place, and I read possibly... the worst thing I've ever read in my life.
Is this worse than the Monster Girl harem thing?
Yeah.
Holy shit, what the fuck?
Yeah. The name of the comic is Lesbian Zombies from Outer Space. And... it's exactly what you think it is, and for a second, I was like, maybe this is a satire.
A parody, and it's not. Even. No.
It's a nerd's really problematic wet dream, and there's a lot of...
Who published it?
It is self-published, of course.
Okay, great. Tell me more. Tell me all about Lesbian Zombies from Outer Space.
I could only find issue 2. Because there's no way in hell I'm going to pay for this.
No, absolutely not.
I'm not gonna do it. It literally starts off. I've never seen. Like, I read trash. Like, I do.
Sometimes. It's been known to happen.
Everybody's nipples in this comic were hard for no reason. And there's a lot of,
can I ask where the comic is set? Like, where it takes place? I just want to know if their nipples are hard because they're in outer space, or if these are Earth nipples on Earth that are exceptionally hard for the Earth atmosphere. I don't know anything about nipples in space, I'm curious if there's a stylistic choice being made here, like some assumptions about the atmosphere and gravity and nips that are being made. I don't know. I'm trying to follow through in a meticulous fashion on space nips.
It is on Earth. Okay. I will say that it is on Earth. It never says if it's... I'm assuming it's the South, because there's only one black person.
Are none of the lesbian zombies from outer space black? That seems narrow-minded of them.
This is not the most woke comic.
I'm shocked.
Surprisingly not very forward thinking. It's surprisingly, like, at times it's grotesque. Well, it's always gross, but it's just like there's a lot of dick fighting off and a lot of like dudes getting murdered, so it's sort of like confusing, like it's obviously written by a dude who likes Revenge of the Nerds and all that shit. But then there'll be like somebody getting their arm ripped off, and then a dude will be like, I can't believe you bit my dick off. I think that's the main reason. I think that's the main reason I read it. Because that line is written so many times. It's really gross, and I don't think anybody should read it. But if you're looking for some cheap laughs and a lot of smut, not that gross, like, porn stuff, but, like, nudity and ridiculousness and vulgarity, then go for it.
Yeah, I mean, did I ever try to coerce you into watching Zombie Strippers?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I figured we were friends at the time when I was trying to make people do that. I don't know how much you remember of Zombie Strippers or if I ever succeeded in getting you to watch Zombie Strippers. Hopefully I didn't. But shooting my dick off is also a line from Zombie Strippers, so it's good that the classics never go out of style.
It's just good writing. It's just good writing. I want to read one more line about this.
Yeah, please, God.
This is in the voice of the main character's boss, who just thought he was going to have a threesome and got his genitals bitten off. And the main character is cradling him in his arms. And the boss is, like, holding on to his plaid fucking shirt. And he looks into his eyes and he says, They ate my balls, please. They ate my balls.
Fuck. That's deathless prose.
I don't think I've ever been so moved by something so stupid. It's so fucking funny.
Okay, I'm gonna call the trades for this month there. I think that's a good note for our brand. As always, thank you so much for listening, everybody. You can find us at The Trades Podcast on Facebook. You can find us at thetrades.podomatic.com for all our back episodes, or you can find us on iTunes. If you don't like RSS feeds, that's a good way to get your podcasts. Awesome. Thanks so much, everybody, and that's it.